Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome to an adventure in history. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here this evening with Mac Burns, Executive Director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. And we have a very special guest here tonight.
This might be our best show ever.
Ever. To date.
To date. We say that every week.
Oh, okay.
I'll
do my best.
We strive every week to make this one even better than the last.
See, I like to believe that we just keep getting better and better.
We do.
Because, see, this is the problem, is I'm an amateur, you're a professional. So I have to up my game because, like, for years and years and years, it's just been a couple of yahoos on the mic, and then we brought you in, and now it's like professional.
Exactly. So, see, you already have raised your game to become even better.
We have.
Yes.
Would you care to introduce our guest so that
yes.
if he wants to jump in on any of this?
I'm glad to welcome Skylar Archibald here this evening with the Sunset Empire Parks and Recreation District.
Thank you.
That's a mouthful.
I'm definitely an amateur.
But you know, you do have, I think of all the guests we've ever had, you have the coolest name ever.
Oh, wow.
I'm very jealous of your name.
Yeah. I was named after a soap opera character, Skylar, that my mom saw when she was in the hospital.
Well, now I'm not so impressed anymore.
I love that.
Which soap opera?
You know, I don't know. I'm guessing since this was the early 80s, it was probably like Days of Our Lives or something that's been on a long time.
I've met your mom. I would not have guessed that she was a soap opera watcher.
I think it was just on the TV in the room, and they were sort of debating between a couple of names, and I think one of them was like Skylar. It might have been Tyler or Kyle or something, and this struck her as being appropriate for me. So I like it. It's always fit.
I like it even more if it was a random, like the TV happened to be on, and they hadn't occurred to them, and they're debating it, and then all of a sudden, well, how about that one?
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah.
So you've been gone.
I have been gone, but I'm back.
You're back.
Who knew I was gone?
Nobody.
In this day and age, you can be anywhere.
You could be anywhere.
You could call in. You could work.
That's true. Nobody would even know as long as you had a different background or like a pretend like this is my standard background.
That's true. Although I was on a work meeting this morning and I had baby toys in the background and a five-year-old running back and forth. So she was watching to see if she could see herself.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like, welcome to my world.
See, I've only had to deal with my cat. I've not had to deal with little kids.
Running five-year-olds.
Okay, well, since we got guests, we should get right to the big show. You ready for the history highlights?
Let's do it.
So these are the things that that happen tomorrow, because we want to give you a chance, a full 24 hours, to appear really smart to all of your friends.
Yes.
Or your enemies. I don't know.
Either one.
Okay, so we begin with something I was almost going to make the history highlight of the day. So this is for May 10th, 1775. Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys, with a late assist from Benedict Arnold, capture Fort Ticonderoga in upstate New York. Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys. Wow. You know, I love Ethan Allen because I used to run the museum.
Oh, I didn't.
In Vermont. I ran the Ethan Allen Homestead.
Oh, okay.
His last place that he lived. And I love Ethan Allen. He's just this big, over-the-top peacock of a person. And he kind of thought he was even better than George Washington.
Hmm.
But why it's significant, you know, up to this point, there's still this idea of, well, okay, forget that whole Lexington and Concord. We're all British. Maybe we could take this back and come to some agreement. And then all of a sudden, Ethan Allen, without any authorization, just seizes Fort Ticonderoga. And worse, he drinks the king's whiskey.
Oh.
And there's no coming back from that.
Yeah.
And there's the Continental Congress like, oh, no, now we have to keep doing it. So anyway. 1865, the Confederate President Jefferson Davis is captured by Union forces. Come on, Jeff, what were you thinking? 1872, Victoria Woodhull becomes the first woman nominated for the U.S. presidency by the Equal Rights Party at Apollo Hall, New York City.
I like that one. Of course, that was on my list.
I almost wasn't going to put it on just so you could put it on.
No, good for you.
But I thought, you know, you're going to be like, how come you skipped that one, Matt? 1877, Rutherford B. Hayes has the first phone installed in the White House.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Oh, that's interesting.
Who's he calling?
Yeah.
And who's calling him?
Right.
I don't know.
Was it a party line? Right? They all were, right?
I think there's one like direct line to the Treasury Department or something. Okay. And that was it. But it just makes me kind of laugh. 1924, J. Edgar Hoover begins his 48 tenure as the FBI director.
Yes.
I can't imagine being in the same job for 48 years.
And I mean, that's not that an easy one.
Yeah.
And that job too. Yeah. All right, I could make some modern jokes, but I'm not going to, because we don't do politics here. 1940, Winston Churchill becomes the Prime Minister of Britain. The right guy at the right time.
Yeah,
he's a little offensive, and he says some things that are wildly inappropriate, though I find him kind of funny. 1980, the government gives Chrysler a $1.5 billion loan. I just need half of that,
yeah,
and I'd be happy. 1994, Nelson Mandela, South Africa's first black president, is inaugurated.
Yes.
We talked about this just like a couple of weeks ago. But the history highlight of the day, I think had the most impact. 1869, the Transcontinental Railroad is completed, unifying the United States.
Yep.
The Golden Spike.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
I don't know. Why didn't anybody come back and like pull up the spike and melt it down and sell it? Because it's got to be left there. There's no guard.
Right.
So anyway, unifying the United States, making the telegraph, the telegram, a little bit old-fashioned and certainly already putting the Pony Express out of business.
Huh, yeah.
So train, you could get on a train and be from one coast to the other coast in about 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, can you imagine such a thing?
No, but better than some of the other trips. The one thing that you did miss, though, 1928, WGY-TV in Schenectady, New York, begins its first regular television programming, which was the first regular half hour of farm and weather reports, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Mrs. Jones, the cows are loose. You better go get them.
I just thought it was kind of curious because it's the first regular programming. 1928. That's early.
That seems crazy.
But the
early
regular programming.
And who's watching?
Consists of.
How many people have a TV?
Well, farm and weather. That was probably pretty popular.
I bet it was kind of like there was one TV downtown and people kind of watched it, and then like one or two people in town, and that was probably it.
Could be. Yeah.
But I love that. Maybe we should do a farm and weather show.
It might be very popular.
I just like it. It probably like being just really personalized. Like, did you drive past the Jones farm and see their chickens are out? So, anyway.
For another day, Mac. Another day. Well, good evening, Skylar. Thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Talking about you and talking about Sunset Empire Parks and Rec.
So we always ask our guests to kind of give us your not an elevator, because it's a really slow moving, long, like 30-minute elevator. So don't give us your elevator speech, but who are you and how did you come to be in Oregon?
Yeah. Well, it's a familiar story probably. When I was a little boy, I have five siblings and we grew up in the Tacoma, Washington area. My parents both work in healthcare. And they decided one summer that they were going to take a trip to the Oregon coast, and they traversed up and down 101, but we spent a week or so in Nesquin, which is down the coast a little bit by Lincoln City. It was the most amazing week of my life, I think, as a vacationer at that point. We were able to just ride our bikes around, go to the beach every night, bonfires. It was just fantastic weather. Everything was perfect. And I think for me and for a lot of my siblings and my parents, something kind of clicked then, that there was something special about the Oregon coast, about this area. They kind of began, I think, searching out opportunities for relocation. They wanted to grow up in a small town, or have us grow up in a small town, and have the opportunity to be involved in lots of extracurricular activities. Whereas, you know, in some of those other busier places, you kind of have to specialize in things. And so they ended up kind of honing in on Clatsop County, and we looked, I think, north and south, and we ended up sort of settling in the Gearhart area, which has been amazing. So we moved there in 1991. I was just an eight-year-old boy, so that gives away how old I am. grew up there and went to school there. And then after high school, moved away to go to college, and kind of never really thought I would be back except for vacations and visits. But we did that as often as we could. And as I found a significant other to spend some time with, and eventually got married with to her, and she had vacationed here. She's from Seattle. She had vacationed here my wife, Chelsea, when she was a kid as well, and spent a lot of times on the beach and riding around Gearheart, riding around Seaside, was familiar with kind of our area. And when this employment opportunity came up, I was really not thinking that it was going to work out, to be honest, because of who I felt I was as a person, the qualifications that I would have. But I decided to apply, knowing that it would be really fun to live back in my hometown and be able to be close to some of my family that was still here. Ended up getting the job as the executive director of the Park and Rec District, and I'm coming up now on my 6-year anniversary, which is crazy.
Wow, that's great.
It's been an awesome time. So yeah, I love this area, and I'm grateful to be back. It's kind of a little bit still surreal. There's definitely goods and bads with living here, but I love it.
Okay, I love two things about that. One, I love the notion of like maybe you and your future spouse or kids riding bikes at the same time.
Yeah.
At the same beach and not even knowing.
We've joked about that a lot. Yeah, she often stayed just across the Gearheart golf course from where my parents' house is. And kind of a small town and a really smaller town because there's not that many kids probably riding around. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
You must have crossed paths at some point. I just don't know.
We surely did. Yeah.
So what did you go off to college for? I mean, what did you think you were going to do if you weren't sure if this job was you were the right fit for?
Yeah, I had about 15 different aspirations in my head of what I wanted to be. I grew up loving the environment of sports and recreation and of just had a lot of enthusiasm for those kind of opportunities. So I really wanted to be, when I initially went to Western Oregon, I went to be a teacher and I wanted to teach and coach and be around kids and youth. And I quickly realized that maybe wasn't for me. And then I switched to, you know, law enforcement actually, and I did that for a short time, and nothing against that profession, but I just wasn't sure if I had that in me either. So then I went into sports writing. And I actually transferred to Portland State and wrote for their student paper there and did a lot of sports media work as much as I could get exposed to. It was a really fun time. They are a smaller school, but in a big city. So there's lots of different and fun opportunities for me to kind of spread my journalism, using air quotes, my journalism wings, and write and do some podcasts and things like that. Actually not so quickly, after a couple years of doing that, I realized it was a really hard schedule to keep. There was a lot of nights where I was asked to be in the gym covering games and away from people that I wanted to be around, away from my homework, away from jobs that might have been a little more
higher paying.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
And there was a time in that period of time about 2005 to 2010 where I think the future of journalism was really in question. There was, it felt like newspapers were dying a slow and painful death. And that's really been unfortunate to see that kind of bear out over the last few years. At that point, I kind of stumbled into recreation because I was working a part-time job in the student recreation department at Portland State. And my boss, who I had a really great relationship with, he told me that there was opportunities for graduate school if I wanted to pursue this, where I could maybe get a graduate assistantship. And have my education expanded and some opportunities there. So I started applying and applied literally all over the country and was not sure where I was going to go. And I had a young family at the time, was married, and we had our daughter, Haley, and she was just a baby. And it was kind of nerve-wracking. Ended up getting an opportunity nearby, at Washington State University in Pullman. So I lived there for about 4 years and did my graduate work and lived there for a couple years and worked on campus and had a lot of really amazing experiences there. Super fun place, a small town in Eastern Washington that's just unlike any other. And then worked in college recreation back in Portland at Pacific University in Portland State. And that's when this job opened up. So all kind of a topsy-turvy journey, but I am actually really grateful for the experiences I had. I used my writing and journalism background just about every day in the things that I write, how I try to communicate to folks. We try to be a very communicative district in what we're sharing with the public and trying to share with them all of the benefits of our services.
And you are kind of changing a little bit at the district, right? I mean, things even in the past just couple years or even just the past year, Talk about what sort of the vision is moving forward from where you are today and what you are envisioning happening.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the Park and Rec District was formed in 1969, and it was really formed with the hopes of bringing a pool to South Clatsop County. There's obviously a couple of riverways there. There's a couple of lakes nearby. There's the Pacific Ocean. And I think residents of our coastal towns have always been mindful of the need to educate our children, the youth of our community, to help them learn to swim so that they're safe around these bodies of water that we like to recreate in. So that was sort of the main purpose of forming the pool. And I think when the pool opened in 1977, it took a little while to get off the ground. There was some stumbles and some turns and tribulations and such. But for about the first 20 or 30 years, I think the recreation district was known really for its aquatic services. We always still say that the Sunset Pool is the heart and soul of the district and really of our community. But recognizing that, there's also lots of other services that park and recreation agencies have provided, and I think those services are really important. There's dry land fitness classes, there's recreation opportunities with special events, things like runs and farmers markets, there's youth programming for preschools and after school programs, there's senior programs, there's kind of a bunch of different areas. So we sort of are always evaluating how we're doing in serving our community. And I think that's one of the best parts of my job, is I really feel that I get a lot of enjoyment and fulfillment out of those opportunities. So recognizing that, and recognizing that maybe we didn't have as much space or as many opportunities to provide that indoor recreation space, we really have been trying hard to acquire more indoor space or provide more indoor space. And that's culminated over the last year with the availability of the Broadway Middle School property and the decision made by the Sunset Empire Park and Rec Board of Directors, an elected body, to purchase that property. And we've already begun some programming in that space, but there's going to be a lot of really awesome programming that can come down the road with the gyms, the classroom space, the youth program space. So it's about 72,000 square feet of property that we can use for bettering our community and providing more recreation.
And how stable is that building? I mean, it my very limited understanding is that the school district wanted just to get out of the tsunami zone. There was nothing wrong with the building, or I mean, have you had to do roof repairs, or how much work have you had to do in terms of just stability versus retrofitting for your needs?
Sure. So we really haven't had to do a lot of work at this point. The building is kind of unique because it was really built in two different phases. There's a phase that was the original part of the building, which was built in the 1940s. And that is about two-fifths of the building overall square footage and includes one of the large gyms. And then the other part of the building was constructed in 1994. So it's actually in really good shape. It's only, you know, less than 30 years old and has a lot of the modern conveniences that you'd find in any nice new building. That's the part of the building that we're using currently. We have six classrooms that we're using for youth program space. It has a large cafeteria, a really nice library, and then another gym. So I would say down the road, there is going to be investment probably required for some of the parts of the building, especially those parts that are older. Roof repairs, the windows need repairing. We know that there's some toxic materials that were used in the building, the actual construction process, but those are encapsulated in the walls and in the floor. So unless we decide to, you know, start tearing down walls and doing that sort of thing, people and programs are safe in there.
I think that confuses people sometimes that, you know, oh no, there's lead in the paint, but if it's five layers down, it's only when you are doing construction or when you scrape that wall that it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
If it is encapsulated, then it's not quite as dire of an emergency as people sometimes think.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I think as we are going through the due diligence process, once we made the offer in October, we had about 2.5 to 3 months to do due diligence. And we contracted out for a ton of reports and engineering reports and firms to come look at the building. And we're really pleased, I think, with the actual condition of the building. And remind folks again, I think that this building was used for education, you know, as recently as February of 2020, you know, before the pandemic, and was going to be used all of last year. And honestly, I think had the building not been had it not been for COVID, it would have been really used continuously by either the school district or by us just, you know, sure. There would have really been no break. So it is in really good shape. It has normal signs of wear and tear, as any building would, especially coastal buildings, that the weather rages a little bit harder here. But overall, it's in really good shape. And, you know, again, I think there's just so many opportunities for us to grow indoor recreation space for our community and some of the things that we'll be able to do down the road.
So how badly did COVID affect your operations? Because I want to throw out a shout out here that my family utilized the pool. We drove down to Seaside from Astoria, and your online registration and knowing what time you had to show up and how long you had and that this lane was going to be mine was fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah. And I actually appreciate that we have two faithful customers as our hosts. You guys are an A team in my book, but
well, I'm a little unfaithful in terms of, sorry, okay. I have okay. to admit.
No, honesty is good too.
I have never cheated.
We love our patrons and our community being able to recreate wherever they can. Mm-hmm. So we happily share resources and share knowledge with Astoria and count the staff there as good friends and colleagues. I think for us, it was a significant challenge, probably the most significant challenge I've had in my time, at least with the district. The unsurety that the pandemic created for all of us, the changing regulations, the risk levels, you know, kind of fluctuating with time. We had a couple of staff that unfortunately, you know, tested positive at various points. So that threw a pretty significant wrench into our process. But I am really incredibly proud of the work of our staff and the support by our board to continue providing programming. I mean, we were shut down for a few weeks, but we jump-started emergency childcare just as soon as we could, and even started providing infant care. And that was done to help alleviate some of the pressure on those families who had people in first responder roles, people that worked at hospitals or in other emergency services. And then as soon as we could, basically in, I think, June 29th, 2020, we reopened the pool. And we've been operating almost continuously since then, except for when our county was in extreme risk, with this lane reservation system. And that's something that we definitely didn't do before. We didn't have the requirements to get people out after 40 minutes and sanitize everything. And we've gone through a lot of disinfectant and a lot of gloves and masks and hand sanitizer, but it's been really worth it to be open, to be able to provide, you know, an outlet for people to exercise and recreate. We have a lot of people that really depend on the pool in our community because, you know, of physical ailments where water really makes them feel whole and good again. And without that opportunity, then they're kind of stuck without a way to exercise and express themselves, be better. So that's been really, really awesome to have that. And I think that anecdotally, we were one of the only park and rec districts or only indoor pools that were open, you know, the majority of this time. I think it's been really great.
It's pretty amazing. And I was just stunned that you drain the pool between every visitor and like, refill it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, we just pour a bunch of Lysol in there and hope that it matters.
So on that silly note, shall we take a little break?
Let's take a break.
All right, we'll be right back.
May 19th, 1899, the drunkards demonstration to be given by the Salvation Army at Fisher's Opera House will not only be an instructive object lesson, but an entertaining drama as well. The play depicts in a vivid manner how a happy home may be broken up by the intemperance and demonstrates how harmony and beauty may be attained in a life by conversion.
And welcome back to An Adventure in History. This evening, we're joined with Skylar Archibald with the Sunset Empire Parks and Recreation District. And I would like to say, you know, I've always appreciated your youth programs, of course, because I started my daughter at 6 months old swimming. She's a fantastic swimmer because of that. And I now have a 1.5-year-old who has been in a pool like twice. I mean, it just breaks my heart. It's just so hard to get that, to get her in that. But I met my dear friend, Catherine Parker, your board president now. You know, sitting in the pool, watching our young girls go through all these different levels. But one thing that we always would talk about was all of the programs that are offered at the district. And we did often talk about that, just the range, the age range. Because you sometimes think that these pools and rec districts are for kids, because that's what's really splashy and that's what gets advertised, is the egg hunts and But all of the programs you offer, I mean, really span the whole family from infant to 6 months to grandma and grandpa. And we've been to several events of yours that are like that, events. But you also have programming, specific programming that brings together those groups as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of park recreation agencies, we strive for, it's a cradle to grave philosophy, and it's kind of a little bit cruel, but that's something that we strive for in offering our programs and services. And actually, I think that's one of the really unique parts about at least the pool facility and some of the other facilities and programs we have, is you can look over and you can see, you know, a really young person, a two-year-old learning how to swim. And then right next to them, you have a person doing their aquatic fitness program, or you have a lap swimmer. You might have a competitive swimmer at the same time. So it's really fun to have that diverse group of programming and be able to really serve our entire population. We know our community has a fair amount of that older adult population, but we also have lots of young families, and they need that space to grow and exercise and learn those valuable skills like swimming.
Yeah.
So what is one of your favorite programs or most innovative programs in your opinion? What's one of those things that you're just like, wow, this is a great thing that we just offered?
Oh, there's a lot.
I know it's like picking your favorite kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope none of my staff are listening. I would say we're especially proud of our preschool program. That's something that we've invested a lot in and found really wonderful staff to help grow that area. I think now that we're in, you know, the recreation center, the former Broadway Middle School property, what we have is a really special thing where the kids in our program, they have their academic part of the day, you know, for a couple hours, and then they walk down the hall and they can play in the gym. They can go, there's some outdoor atriums, and they can learn about bugs and plants and things like that. And that is so special. And we're, you know, unfortunately, Clatsop County, like the rest of the state, actually is in a child care desert where there's just not enough spots for preschoolers open. And because of that, so many of the youth in our community are getting to kindergarten, getting to the public education a little bit behind from where the state wants them to be and where they probably should be. We're able to provide an experience and care for children that helps alleviate some of that so that they can hit kindergarten running. And I'm really proud of that, just the diverse need that we're meeting in our community. It's been a lot of work, but it's been well worth it.
Terrific. And how could people find out about programs, and how do they contact you, or how do they check out everything you're doing?
Yeah, we do our best to be as clear and open with all of our programs and communication that we have. The best way to find out information is to go to our website, which is www.sunsetempire.com. You can always come by the Sunset Pool front desk, which is at 1140 Broadway, or you can call 503-738-3311 for more information on any of our programs or services.
You're also on social media.
Yes, we are, Facebook and Instagram. We try to post regularly because I think that's a huge part of how people in our community get their news.
Great. Thank you so much, Skylar.
You're welcome.
We're glad
Thank
to have you,
both.
You this evening.
Feels like this could have been a two-parter.
I know. We'll have to have him back for the next best show.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Go make some history. We will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.